DW Africa Link.
After Raila Odinga, who leads Kenya's opposition now? That's a fair question, because for decades, Raila Odinga was the face of Kenya's opposition, a political giant who shaped the nation's democracy through protest, persistence, and power-sharing deals. But now, he's gone, and the country's opposition faces a defining moment. Who steps up to fill the vacuum left by a man once called the people's president? Can Kenya's opposition survive without its unifying figure? Or is this the dawn of a new political era driven by youth and reform? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Raila Odinga was laid to rest on the 19th of October after days of memorial events and a state send-off that drew huge crowds and high-profile mourners. His burial wasn't just a farewell. It marked the close of an era for Kenya's opposition, led by a man described as a champion of multi-party democracy and resilience. So who can now lead an effective opposition that delivers tangible wins on cost of living, corruption, and police accountability? Let's dig into this with our very own Felix Maringa, DW correspondent in Nairobi, Kenya. Also with us is Billian Ojiwa, a political analyst from Kenya. Thanks to you both for joining me. Welcome to Africa Link. Raila Odinga has been laid to rest. Felix, how will young people remember his politics?
I think Raila Odinga's way of doing politics will be missed. He was one of the most charismatic politicians that existed in Kenya for a very long time. Raila Odinga's career in politics spans over four decades. And over that particular time, he has managed to know how to get to his crowd, how to excite the crowds, how to excite the masses, how to speak their language. And that is something that most of the politicians in the present day struggle. Raila Odinga also had a massive following across the country. Most of the young people left campus. They joined the Orange Democratic Movement, which is the political party that Raila Odinga founded back in the year 2005. And for that whole time, Raila Odinga has managed to keep his followers and haters in equal measures guessing about his next move. It's so many times that many people wondered, would Raila Odinga vie for presidency in 2017 election or in 2022 election? And yet, at the last minute, he wakes up and says, I will be on the ballot. And just recently, in the month of September this year, Raila Odinga had also said that nobody said that I won't, or ODM, my political party, will not field a candidate in 2027. The arrangement we have with the government is until 2027. But for the election, the Orange Democratic Movement will give its position. And that was the kind of politics that Raila kept playing, that when people thought he was going one direction, he removed the card under the table and he took people to a different direction all the same. He was also very entertaining, and that's something that people will miss. He knew what to say. When he went to the common person on the ground, Raila Odinga knew he'd speak about the cost of food. He knew that he'd speak about how government was oppressing the people. When he sat at a table with the government of the day, Raila Odinga also knew how to massage the government of the day. And even when he went for political parties, he'd say something like, Vijana hoye, to just get the young people hooked to what he was about to tell them. And most of the people also know him for saying something like, Haya. And then now people get to listen. He'd say three or four times and everyone quiets to just listen at what Raila Odinga wants to tell them. So those are some of the things that he will be missed for.
One of the key things he was also known for was how to somehow bring the opposition together, right? Now that Raila is no more, how would you describe the current state of opposition politics in Kenya?
The current state of opposition politics in Kenya stands at crossroads because one, there's the former deputy president, Rigathi Gachagua, who was impeached in the year 2024. He has been trying to put a team together with Martha Karua, the likes of Fred Matiang'i, who was a minister in the previous government, Eugene Wamalwa, who was also a minister in other previous governments. And all of these individuals are trying to come together and put combined opposition. But now the state of the opposition remains in such a place that they still haven't had their foot on the ground or put their foot on the ground very clearly to command the kind of following that Raila Odinga would have. And their problem comes in the sense that with this particular challenge that they are not able to marshal the crowds, then the government of the day does not feel like it needs to either respond to the opposition leaders every time or do whatever the opposition demands. Unlike when Raila Odinga would demand something from the government, Raila Odinga would at one given time, he even told his supporters to unsubscribe from telephone service provider here in Kenya, and people unsubscribed. They joined the other service provider. So that is the kind of magnitude that Raila Odinga had. But for the current opposition, they're still trying to put their foot on the ground. They're still trying to bring their heads together. They're still trying to find a formidable leader to lead them. Everyone is coming in with their own opinions, with their own style of doing leadership. And so many of them are still trying so much to get to people following what they say and to get their words to be
Right.
gospel truth, because that is what Raila Odinga had made his supporters believe him to be.
Let me come to you, Belian Ojiwa. What does Raila Odinga's absence mean for the political balance in the country?
Thank you so much. First of all, Raila's influence did cut across different communities. We've seen different political leaders, even the current president. If you look at their back support base is based on one ethnic communities. But if you look at Raila, and it's because this is a base that he built over time. We're talking about 4 decades plus. So his absence is gonna, for example, I come from the Luo community. Since Raila died, we've been having a lot of conversations around Kingpin, who is gonna lead our community, because Raila has been our leader for the last 40 years or so. So this is what is gonna happen to different communities. This is what is gonna happen within the ODM party. This is what is gonna happen to different communities. So I foresee scenarios where, because Raila support was coastal, we saw the Luo region, we saw the Maasai region, we saw the Luhya western side of Kenya. So I'm gonna see a trend where different communities are gonna reorganize themselves. They're gonna say, we don't have now a unifying factor. We have to fight for our position. We have to fight for our space by ourselves. So we are likely to see a lot of new community kingpin leaders, and that's what he was trying to eliminate. He was really working hard that we have a unified nation, and having a unified nation means that we don't subscribe to just our tribes. We work as a country, and we push for the agenda, and we push for the interest of the country rather than the interest of local communities.
You make a very important point, because his exit leaves a leadership vacuum of some sort. Is there a clear successor who can continue Odinga's legacy?
Not really. We've seen a lot of conversations going around, different people being na names being dropped. We've seen even during this burial time, we've seen people trying to come out as, as the people's favorite. But if you look at Raila's legacy, his support base wasn't built in 5 years, in 2 years, in 1 year. It took 40 solid years. And even with that support base, it was based on issues. So There are communities that joined in because they was fighting for their land. There are communities that joined in because he helped them during certain times. So there's no certain leader that can fill Raila's shoes at the moment. However, we post the Gen Z demonstrations. We saw other young leaders coming in, and this is a different generation. Our generation are now also not looking at the history of someone. I think we're also ready for leadership. So we could see maybe other young leaders stepping up. And now that we're in the mood where, you know, where young people, young the Gen Zs left us during the demonstrations, we could see a shift. However, there is no particular personality, there is no particular politician or leader in this country that we can say can fit in Raila's shoes at the moment.
Based on what you've said, Billion, isn't that a stain on his leadership that he left when there was no clear replacement, so to speak, to help continue his legacy?
He trusted everyone and he didn't trust a particular person. So even as a community, as a low community, because usually some of these conversations, some of the bargains are done by community leaders, are done by leaders. So as we speak, even us as a community, we don't have a particular person that we can point and say that's our leader. And coming to his party, he managed to have structures. He was a people pleaser. He was someone who brought on board different talents. And we can see a series or a number of young people or even old guys, the guys that he worked with when he started his political journey, that are still governors or senators in different areas that we thought would be his successor. Nobody expected him to die this soon.
Raila had been in politics for 40 plus years. He was 80 years when he passed away. There was no strong figure that even in his absence would really stand in and continue the cause. Isn't that a big challenge? I'm asking that because of all that we've said about the opposition. And maybe I can just throw this one also in, that how do you assess the current strength and cohesion of Kenya's opposition parties now with no standout leader after Raila's passing?
I get your point, and I think we knew that eventually he will exit. There are many times that we had rebel MPs, rebel leaders from his political party, especially post-election, that thought he was now done. But Raila found a way of reinventing himself. So it was very hard for anybody to step up. But also for him, I think, was also security that comes with politics, that you don't want to make a leader when you are still in that position. He was still in control. And we call it a multi-billion support base. This is support base that he built. He mentored a lot of them into this space. So there was also a bit of fear from him. He never let anyone to inherit his support base when he was still alive. And anytime that anyone looked like he was rising, he had his the fighters, he had his lieutenants who would fight you to make sure that you were run down. But we can also understand that the way Raila was doing his politics, there are a lot of people that gained from his being on the scene. But coming back to your other question about the position, if you look at the history of Raila, and I met him a couple of times when we were in these political spaces, and one thing that he thrived on was telling the history. He would narrate the history. He would a lot of things that we didn't even learn in school. So looking at the current crops of even the opposition leaders that we have, they are so shallow when it comes to the history of this country. They only look at, you know, what we have now, what we can achieve now. So that has been the one of the undoings that we have with the current crop of opposition leaders.
Thank you very much for that. Felix, let me come back to you. How do young people feel about all that we've just discussed, that Raila is no more, but there doesn't seem to be any concrete person or any strong figure to step into his shoes?
The gap that is left without no one to take over is classical of the Kenyan political class. Raila Odinga would not have appointed a successor while he was still in office.
But you groom people or groom someone who, in the eyes of many, they can tell that this person would be sort of the natural successor. Do people feel let down that there didn't seem to be a natural successor who can unite the opposition and continue with the course that Raila was on?
Of course, people feel let down, and impact will just grow over the time. People are still reeling from his death and burial, but the impact, the real impact of him not having left behind somebody to take up the mantle when he's gone, would the impact will by no doubt be felt across the country. However, the political stature of the country, or the state of politics within the country and the political parties, they have one clear leader. And most of the political parties in Kenya are special purpose vehicles. In 2017, again, Uhuru Kenyatta and William Ruto regrouped again to form Jubilee Party, which they vied with. Again, another special purpose vehicle. The Orange Democratic Movement, as much as it has been in existence for the last 20 years, it has metamorphosized at different points. So in 2013, the Orange Democratic Movement went into the ballot as the CORD Coalition, and it brought several political parties together and vied as CORD Coalition.
He made the opposition stronger. Now that he's away, my question now to you would be, what would be a reimagined opposition look like from a youth perspective?
The young people of Kenya want an opposition party that represents their aspirations. And some of the aspirations that the young people of Kenya have are, for instance, the need for jobs. They want an opposition party that would push or even to a larger extent twist the government to give the young people jobs. The young people would also want an opposition that pushes the government to create better healthcare and to lower the cost of living. All of these are things that Raila fell short of because he was in a broad-based government. So ideally, he was part and parcel of William Ruto's government. And now other figures started emerging as opposition figureheads. Presently, voter registration is taking place in the country, and the young people have been very reluctant in going to register for the votes. Why? Because they still feel like the opposition and the government does not understand their pleas, their needs, and their wants. So an opposition to them would be the opposition that pushes some of this agenda.
Right. So, Bellion, do you foresee a realignment or fragmentation of opposition forces ahead of the 2027 elections?
Most of the figures that we have in the opposition have been in government for the longest, apart from maybe Kalonzo Musyoka, but the rest of the guys have been part of the government. So they are finding themselves in a familiar ground. So moving to the absence of Raila Odinga gives a vacuum and a room for other opposition leaders to grow. Yesterday, we were just talking about an opportunity that was given during Raila's burial to one of the opposition leaders. We expected him to come up out as a strong force, as a face of the opposition. So yes, I think this is a wake-up call to the opposition leaders. We saw they were having their own differences. We started seeing a divided opposition, but right now I think they'll feel the heat, the pressure to unite or perish together. So we're hopefully going to see a united opposition. And also within the party that Raila was running, we've seen a lot of even voices that are feeling they don't feel represented. As Felix have said, there are a lot of figures from the Raila's party who are in government, who are now doing what we call praise and worship to the current government. And we're also seeing, especially young people, there are like three young leaders, a senator and two members of parliament, who are saying, this is not what we stand for as ODM, as opposition. Yeah, so we are going to see also a divided ODM, and maybe that can lead to also them crossing to the opposition party, to the opposition wing.
I'm just wondering if Raila's absence could open space for new political movements or figures outside what some call traditional party structures. Could it somehow re-energize, reinvigorate, create some newness and freshness in the opposition structure?
Absolutely, yes. I think this is now because, you know, there have been young figures in different spaces, both in government and in the opposition, who have been for the longest time not been able to express or do things into their full potential. I think this is now the space when everybody else is confused, and in the midst of all this noise, they're able to work out something. And our generation is different. I think if you look at what is happening now, our generation, most of the young people are not registering because they feel like the people in political spaces right now are not representing. There's no freshness. There's nobody who is aligned to their current issues. The issues we have today and the issues we had in 1992 when Raila was building his political base are totally different. So yes, we are going to see a lot of young people talking about job opportunities, talking about the technology, talking about things that are relevant to the current generation, and hopefully that could give us a different lead and a different freshness into the opposition.
Thank you very much for that. You have the last words, Baringa. I'm assuming you also see the potential maybe for a new generation of leaders to emerge outside what seems to be the established political elite system right now.
Definitely, there's a lot of opportunity for young and fresh and vibrant leaders to emerge. There were some politicians over the weekend at the burial of Raila Odinga who were saying that there's always an opportunity for a generation to put up leaders that will serve for the next 3, 4 decades. And this is that opportune time. This is that opportune time because just a few weeks ago in Kenya, young people organized in TikTok, organized on social media, went and fundraised to a family in central Kenya that had had their father sickly and in bed for the whole time. And they contributed without a leader, without anybody else coercing them to go a particular direction. And they organized. And even the politicians who showed up at that particular meeting, we were told, just contribute what you're contributing and go. We do not want to hear anything from you. Immediately after that, the young people started having a conversation online about building a Gen Z hospital in Kenya, a Gen Z hospital that has medication, that has ambulance services, and that will treat Kenyans with dignity. And they were saying they need a Gen Z hospital in every county in the country. Out of the 47 counties, they want that to be a possibility one of these fine days. So a new crop of leadership in the opposition and led by the young people, led by fresh blood, will be the kind of leadership that now comes to answer some of these problems or some of these issues that the young people are raising. Young people in Kenya are also looking forward to a leadership that will put the government on toes and that will be ready to take power from the government if the government of the day is not serving their needs and it's not serving them to the core. And so ultimately, what will resonate with the Gen Zs as a message from the opposition will be a message that gives them hope, a message that gives them clarity, and a message that gives them practical solutions for the problems that they are facing.
Spoken like Gen Z yourself. Thank you very much, Felix, for that very interesting discussion here. DW correspondent in Nairobi, Kenya, Felix Maringa, also Billian Ojiwa, political analyst from Kenya. Thank you very much.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
Very big shoes to fill, right? I mean, for more than 40 years, Odinga stood at the center of opposition politics, defying precedents, challenging electoral commissions, and inspiring millions. Now, with Raila gone, Kenya's opposition is searching for its next voice and perhaps its next identity. Some say it's time for new blood from a younger generation tired of recycled politics. Well, the next few years will show whether the spirit of Raila Odinga continues through a new generation or whether it disappears with him. Only time will tell. We'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts with us on Facebook at DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Josie Mahachi. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Mind.